Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
The story in the Gospel of Matthew regarding Jesus being tempted or tested in the wilderness by the devil illustrates the point that we need to be grounded in the Scriptures. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. This particular passage in Matthew chapter 4 is when Jesus is led up by the Spirit. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. When he had fasted in chapter 4, verse 2, for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry afterward. And so he has physical needs just like anyone else. He is completely fully human. He hungers when he's not eating, just like you and me. He's totally God at the same time, but he's not using those divine powers. He is in relationship with the Father and ultimately frequently prays and obviously is very filled with the Scripture and the Word of God. And this particular passage illustrates why it's important to maintain that communion with the Lord and to be filled with the Word of God. The tempter came, verse 3, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answers, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, that comes directly from the Scriptures. Jesus refers the Scriptures right back to him. Rather than arguing with the devil, he cites him Scripture. In order for him to cite the Scripture, Jesus would have had to spend many, many hours reading the scrolls of these various Scriptures. It's not like he had this on his smartphone or his iPad. It's not like he even had a Bible that he could carry around in one hand that has the spine on it like we have with our normal books that we have today. And these are lots of scrolls that you would have to unroll in order to get to the last chapter or in the middle of the verse or the middle of the section. You have to unroll it and get to it. Now, there are no chapter and verse demarcations within these scrolls. So the book of Isaiah would be, for example, on one large scroll. And if you wanted to go read Isaiah chapter 53, you have to unroll that scroll. And you have to read it, and you have to know what's before and what's after it to see, did you go too far? Did you not go far enough? There is no Isaiah 53. You're not like looking at chapters 50, 51, 52. Oh, there's 53. And if you want to find a particular verse within Isaiah 53, you have to know where it is within that chapter. These chapters are inventions, they're creations for our well-being, but they're not in the original. These particular chapter distinctions are made when the translators ultimately translated from Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic into different languages, and we put the chapter and verse divisions. And it's very helpful if you want to find a particular book. But imagine the Bible with no chapters, other than you start with Isaiah and you have Jeremiah, you have Ezekiel and Daniel, so you only have the books. Even put it in one single book that you can hold in one hand. And imagine how hard it is when the pastor gets up to the pulpit and said, "We're going to read now from Psalm 22. Open your Bibles to Psalm 22. Imagine trying to find that. Imagine that not even being in a book form. Jesus was so immersed in the Scripture that not only he knew where to find this in the scrolls, but he was able to quote it from memory. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that didn't work. The devil then took him up to the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. This is the high point there. And in fact, if you look where people think this was actually done, it's actually where the wall is the farthest from the tip of the wall down to the base of the mountain. And all we see is the Temple Mount. We don't see the wall that went higher than that. And it's a long way down. So now you add the wall on top of the Temple Mount, and you go all the way down to the base of the mountain. It's a very high, prominent position. You can see everywhere. Verse 6, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will put his angels in charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you don't dash your foot against a stone.'" So Satan throws scripture right back at him. Yes, Satan knows scripture too, but he perverts it. So he realized, okay, Jesus is going to respond to me by using scripture. I'll trick him. I'm going to use scripture myself. Sometimes people try to use scripture. Sometimes even leaders or pastors might try to use scripture. It's up to you to figure out, is that accurate? Is that what the scripture actually says? You need to do your own study, your own research. Jesus responds in verse 7, Matthew chapter 4. "Again, it is written, 'You shall not test the Lord your God.'" So that didn't work. Verse 8, "The devil then took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, 'I will give you all of these things if you will fall down and worship me.'" All you have to do is fall down and worship me. All this majesty, all this power will be at your hands. Satan does that today to people. In fact, I was listening to or reading about Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks is with Fleetwood Mac. She was the lead female vocalist. And she credits her personal career success to the fact that she took the life of her unborn child through abortion. She said she got pregnant, and she decided that it's either give birth to this child and not be able to do Fleetwood Mac right now, and yet Fleetwood Mac is going to be a big blessing to the world, and so she chose Fleetwood Mac over the life of her child. Her child, at the time that this was written, would have been in the early 40s, and she still doesn't regret having made that choice. She was presented with fame and power and money, and she chose that over life. Satan tends to do that. That's what he tried to do to Jesus, to tempt him with amazing, dazzling things in power and money and wealth and recognition. But you only have to just do one thing. Just bow down and worship me. Jesus then responds in verse 10. "Get behind me, Satan," he said, "for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and served him." So every time, all three times that Jesus responded to Satan, regarding bread, he responded with scripture. Regarding throwing yourself down and the angels will protect you, he ultimately responded to scripture. "You shall not test the Lord your God." Don't put the Lord God to the test. Regarding bowing down to worship him, you'll have all this amazing power and dazzling wealth and recognition. Just bow down and worship me. To that, he had another scripture that came right to his mind. I am quoting this scripture. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only." That's Jesus, always responding to the devil by quoting scripture. What does that say for us? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the person who was born sinless. This is the person who ultimately conquered death, who rose again from the grave. This is the one who healed the lame and the blind. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the one prophesied in all of the scriptures that he would come. This is what Matthew is talking about, even beginning in Matthew chapter 1. This is the promised Messiah, tracing all the way back through the various generations. This is the miraculous virgin birth. This is the one who ultimately went to Gethsemane, who ultimately cried out if this is possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will, but your will. And he stayed the course. Even in the face of people rejecting him, he stayed the course. Remember that he prayed for hours and hours in that Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that he oftentimes, right after, for example, when he fed the multitudes, what did he do? He sent the disciples off into the lake to go to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And what did he do? He went up into a mountainside area by himself privately, and he prayed there for hours. The reason why we know he prayed for hours is because when the Sea of Galilee got rough and the disciples thought that they were going to die, Jesus came to them walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now, Jesus went up into the mountain when the sun started to go down. He wanted to feed the people because it would have been too late for them to be dispersed, and there was no place for them to get food anyway. So he fed them, and then he sent the disciples onto the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. The storm happened. It lasted for hours and hours. Jesus then is up in the mountain, and he's praying for hours. He's praying, no doubt, for at least, I would say, 6 hours, from at least 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe even earlier, 7 o'clock, could have been 8 hours. He's praying for many hours on end. And he did the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he did that often because no doubt when he would go into Jerusalem, he had a favorite place where he would pray on the Mount of Olives. That's why Judas knew where to go. He didn't know that he went to the Mount of Olives. He just knew that Jesus often wanted to retire there to ultimately pray and have some quiet time. Jesus was in constant state of prayer. Jesus was someone who was constantly reading the Word of God, and he began to memorize the Word of God so that when he was put in these situations by Satan, he ultimately was able to recite back the Word of God to Satan for each situation that Satan threw at him. Each one of the responses is exactly the kind of scripture that would respond to that. It wasn't a generic response. It was specific. If Jesus knew the scripture like that, and if Jesus prayed intensely for hours like that, how much more should we? Jesus says the kind of miracles that we see him perform, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes, you'll do even greater things than these. Well, the way to do greater things than those that we read about is to do and follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have at our fingertips no longer scrolls. We don't have bulky scrolls that take up large rooms. We have multiple translations that are in hard copy. We have multiple translations that are on apps and smartphones. I have multiple translations on my smartphone. I have lots of English version translations. I have also Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and Syriac. I can look at any one of these at any moment in time. Wherever I am, I can read the scripture. I read it every day. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I am not in the Word of God. In fact, I look forward to that opportunity to read the Word of God at the end of the day. And every day, there's not a day that doesn't go by without being in the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, and it has life-giving words and hope for us. People throughout history have died, given their lives to translate the Word of God. I was just reading about Wycliffe and some other Bible translators, and it's hard to imagine that different Bible translators, simply for the desire to translate the Bible into people's common language, were ultimately martyred, burned at the stake, killed, mocked, imprisoned, lost their lives, were tortured. And yet we have all these translations, free apps that we can download for many of these translations, and we don't read it. So I want to encourage you to immerse yourself into the Word of God. Immerse yourself into a constant state of prayer. Whether you're at home in your private location or at work, driving in your vehicle. Fill your mind with praise and worship. Commune with the Lord. Speak to Him like you do a friend. Develop that continual relationship and immerse yourself into the Word of God. Let us all follow the example of Jesus. Jesus is looking for the church to ultimately transform society. And that church begins with you and me. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.